I want to take you in the Bible to two places, Proverbs chapter 20 and then Genesis chapter 37. In fact, if you'll hold your place at Genesis 37 and then turn back to Proverbs chapter 20 for just a few moments here. Genesis chapter 37, hold your finger there and then go to Proverbs chapter 20. In 1947, there were some Bedouin shepherds in the southern part of Israel that they were looking for a stray goat. It was an area that had a lot of caves up on cliffs, and they were throwing rocks. And this is a typical way that they would try to find the goats. They would throw rocks up in the caves in order to try to find. And of course, if they hit the goat, he would let them know he was up there. And they were throwing these rocks up in these caves on the side of cliffs. And as they did, they heard the crash of pottery. They thought that was interesting, so a couple of young shepherd boys, they went up the cliff, they climbed up it, they went into those caves, and in those caves, over the next few years, were found one of the most incredible finds, archaeologically, in the history of mankind. There were found what we know now as the Dead Sea Scrolls. At first, they only found 7 fragments. And after it was all said and done, after a 12-year period, they found thousands of different fragment parchment of the books of Isaiah, several other books of the Old Testament. You know what's wonderful about that? If you go over to Israel today, they have a huge museum, and it's a big rotunda, and they have all of the Dead Sea Scrolls behind air-protected cases, and it's really something that every Israelite young person has to go through and see at least twice before they reach adulthood. If you take out the Masoretic text, the Hebrew scripture from which the King James was translated, you will find that it is word for word from the text that were found in those caves in the southern part of Israel in 1947 that had not been touched for at least 1700 years. That is an incredible affirmation of the preservation of God's word. He's promised to preserve it, and he's done so. It was an incredible find. It was a very rare find. But I would say this. You could almost make the argument that there is something even more rare to find. And Solomon points this out in Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs 20 and verse 6. Most men, in fact, most ladies in here would say every man. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. But a faithful man who can find. Of course, if you study the first part of that verse, it's basically saying this. The old adage goes, if a man doesn't toot his own horn, then he'll live in a constant state of untootedness. So you might make sure that you're going to toot your own horn because nobody else is going to toot it for you. You'll find most men, it even says it, it knows men's egotism. It knows their cockiness. Men have a natural inclination. You know, we're talking about this in this Love and Respect series in Sunday School, Adult Bible Fellowship. And this need of respect, this need of affirmation, comes much from a man's natural egotism about himself. It's part of our sinful nature, that prideful attitude toward ourselves. And most men that you run into will have no problem, at some point or another, bragging about their own goodness. But the last part of the verse is what I want us to look at. But a faithful man, who can find? It's a rarity. Bob Jones Sr. said that dependability is the greatest ability. I would like to kind of modify that, if revised, if nothing else. I'd like to say that a faithful man is the greatest man that can be found. We are in a dire need of faithful men. We live in a day and age that husbands and fathers are very unfaithful, not just toward their wives in a sexual sense, but toward their families as a dad, toward their jobs as an employee, toward their God. Men, we are prideful beings. We think that we have it all together. And we exhibit in front of those the show that we have everything in place. And yet, if you look at our lives behind the scene, they are a shambled mess. A faithful man. Now I want you to take your Bibles in light of that and turn back to Genesis chapter 37 because I would like to show you a great biblical picture of a faithful man. And I'd like to just step through several circumstances in his life a synopsis of Joseph. Many have said that Joseph is the greatest picture, typology of Jesus Christ, aside from Christ himself. The Bible does not say that about Joseph. It doesn't bring that out. But I think that there's a lot of analogies that you can make from the life of Joseph that you can't do that in a direct sense. But one thing that you can say about Joseph, the character in the Word of God, he was a faithful man. He was a man that you knew you were going, what you were going to get every single time that you approached him. And I would like us to step through the life of this character, Joseph, in Scripture. In Genesis chapter 37, let's begin reading, if we would, at verse 9. This is the youngest years. He was 17 at this point in time. He's bringing the dreams that he had about the sheaves and about the sun, moon, and stars, bowing down to him. And this really spiraled into the point where his brothers, this hatred and jealousy, to the point that they sold him into slavery. And he dreamed yet another dream, verse 9, Genesis 37, and told it his brethren, and said, "Behold, I have dreamed a dream more," in other words, another dream. "And behold, the sun and the moon, the 11 stars, made obeisance to me." They bowed down to him. And he told it to his father and to his brethren. His father rebuked him and said unto him, "What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth?" And his brethren envied him. But his father observed the saying. Now notice, you will, he's still 17 years of age here. Young people, young men, you really ought to pay attention to this. This is important. "And his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem," where his dad was at this point in time. Was probably a little over 40 to 50 miles away from this point. At 17 years of age, and Israel, that is Jacob, and Israel said unto Joseph, "Do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them." And he said to him, are you kidding me? Dad, do you know how far that is? Dad, do you know what kind of terrain is between here and there? Dad, you're sending me miles away. You're sending me a couple of days' journey by myself. I mean, I've got all my brothers out there, but I'm going out there by myself at 17 years of age. Dad, you honestly, you're going to trust me at 17 years of age to do something so important? He said, "Dad, man, look, we just came through Christmas time. Man, you got me one of those PlayStation 3s. And at Christmas before, you got me that Xbox, and you said you were going to get me Kinect pretty soon to go with it. Come on, Dad, I got a lot of busy things I got to do. I don't have time to go check on my brothers." Is that what he said? No, because I want you to understand about Joseph. Joseph was faithful to do what he was told to do, even at a young age, by those that God had placed over him. It was by no accident. Now listen to me. It was by no accident that Joseph ended up in his life where he ended up. It was his training from very early years that you see taking place in his life, and that played out in the years to come, because his response was very simple to his father's directive. He simply said at the end of the verse, "Here am I. Dad, if that's what you need me to do, then I'm here. I'll do it." Basically, he's saying to him in our modern vernacular, "Yes, sir. If you tell me to do it, I'll do it." I want to be very honest about this and this issue of faithfulness. Young men, I want you to hear me. Many of you are very close to the age of 17. We have done a disservice in our culture, Christian culture, to you, in allowing you to have the idea that because you're in your teenage years, that rebellion is somehow an accepted behavior. As you study the Word of God, you'll never find within its pages that God says, "Well, we don't worry about it too much because you know how teenagers are. They're just sowing their wild oats." You'll never find that in Scripture. Our culture has made that, and the church, unfortunately, has bought into that. But you do not find that in the pages of God's Word. I'll make this argument even further. This is an argument that's transcended over church work, over the Christian world. I'm talking about it transcends into every arena of life. I have told parents, we keep explaining to them, "Hey, listen, this is something that's going to hurt them or help them in years to come." But you watch a young man who's obedient to his parents. You watch him, a young man who honors, not just obeys, honors his father and mother. He brings to their name honor. He has a great work ethic. He works hard for those who pay him or for any others who may not pay him but are in direct authority in his life. He doesn't play a game of charades. He's very sincere. He's very pure-hearted. You bank on this. I don't care how intellectually limited he may be. I don't care what disadvantages in life he may have. Aesop wrote it in a fable called The Tortoise and the Hare. He will shoot ahead. You'll see him make great advances in life, while those that ran swift but ran unfaithfully are left behind. And that transcends all arenas of life. Scripture said about every young man in Scripture, as you study them very closely, Daniel, Hezekiah, all those, Josiah, that God used, there's a key phrase. And it says this about those young men, that they prepared their heart to seek the Lord. In other words, they were mature beyond their years. I believe we live in a day and age of what is called perpetual adolescence. You see, men, do you know who the biggest buyers in our culture are for video games in our entire culture, the American culture? Do you know the segment of our society that the largest buyer? You know what it is? It is white males 25 to 33 years of age. They're not buying games for their kids. They're buying games for themselves. Do you know the second group? And they're only second probably because they don't have as much money yet. And that is the white male 18 to 25. They design entire industries to that segment of our population. Why? Because we as a group have refused to grow up. You know who's suffering for that? Our children, our wives, our homes, our churches, our communities. Joseph at a very young age was faithful to do what those asked him to do that God had placed over him. He saw authority never as an enemy. He saw authority, as Paul describes it in Romans 13, as that which is ordained by God, whether it was authority that he liked or not. You also see this in Joseph's life. He was a rare find. He was faithful at a young age. He was also faithful when he was entrusted with responsibilities. Look at Genesis 39 and verse 2. Jacob now is going into Potiphar's house. It says, and the Lord was with Joseph in Potiphar's house and was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Now get this. And his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight and he served him. And he made him overseer over his house and all that he had put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand and knew not aught he had save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. You know what Potiphar did? Potiphar basically delegated his entire estate to Joseph's caretaker. And Potiphar had no idea how much money he had in the bank. He had no idea how many cows he had out in the pasture. He had no idea what was needed to be maintained or replaced in his house. All he knew about his own estate, he trusted Joseph so much that all he knew was the food that was placed in front of him to eat. And everything that he had prospered in an unbelievable way. Why? Because Potiphar, if nothing else, was a wise man up to this point. And that he had found a rarity. He had found a faithful man. He was a man that was faithful in his responsibilities. How many of you here have a company that you run? You have employees that work for you. You know this as well as I do. That when you find a faithful man, you hold on to him with all that you have. You can find shooting stars. You can find guys that are so image conscious, they're worried about what everybody else thinks. And they all, you know, they do one good thing and they walk around like the cock of the walk. I mean, they just walk around like they're the big banny rooster on the block. Those are not keepers. Let me tell you what you're looking for. You're looking for a man who is faithful to do his responsibilities. He's not looking for self-affirmation. He's not looking for people to pat him on the back or praise him. He's just simply faithful in doing his job. A faithful man who can find. The third thing you see about Joseph, that he was faithful when it was costly to be faithful. Look at the end of verse 6. It says, and he left all that he had in Joseph's house in hand, and knew not that he what all he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. And it came to pass after these things. Now you know where the story's going now. It's Potiphar's wife. Let me tell you something about Joseph. If you and I were talking to him purely from a worldly sense, and we knew that Joseph was going to end up in prison, he was going straight back to the bottom. If he did not follow through on what Potiphar's wife was trying to tempt him with, basically it was over for him. He'd gotten to a pretty good place in life. He had a very good reputation. And yet if he did not follow through on this temptation, this was not temptation for Joseph near as much as it was opportunity for Joseph. And you know what Joseph said? How can I do this thing against my God? How can I look at that screen and offend my God? How can I dare look at that young maiden when I've made a covenant with mine eyes that I'll be pure in what my thought life is? How can I possibly do this? Now listen to me. We see Joseph at his later years when he's second in command of the greatest empire on earth. Can I tell you something? Joseph did not get to be the second man in charge because he was gifted to be the second man in charge. Joseph became the second man over this entire empire because he was willing to be faithful to his God even when it cost him. What's the community going to say if I choose to raise my children in this way? I'm not sure I can afford to raise my child in this way. If I do it, it's going to be a great sacrifice. I may not get that vehicle. I may have to hold off on the renovations to the house. People are going to look and wonder, come on, man, just fit in. It's not that bad. But I know what God's asking me to do. And I've watched Christians reason a lot of things away. And you can see it in the lives of their kids. A faithful man. Lord, I'm not raising these children to be approved by the world. I'm raising these children for your honor and glory. So Lord, even when it costs me something, I'm going to be faithful to you. The fourth thing you see in the life of Joseph is that he was faithful when he was given big responsibilities or when he was given little ones. Look down, if you will, same chapter, verse 19. And it came to pass when his master heard the words of his wife, which he spake unto him, saying, after this manner did the servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in prison. Joseph was in the limelight. He was doing big responsibilities for Potiphar. Now he's clear at the bottom of the ladder. But he's a faithful man. Notice, if you will, verse 21. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Why did the Lord make the things that Joseph did to prosper, whether he was in the palace or in the prison? Why? Because he was a faithful man. Now let me tell you something that God will not do for you. He will not make you into a person of character. His grace will enable you to be a person of character, but you've got to choose to be a faithful person. God will give you the strength to do it. God will give you the ability to, but He will not do it for you. So often, I see people say, well, you know, I was faithful to the Lord, and being faithful to the Lord, you know, I ended up right at the bottom. And so I just kind of gave up. Can I tell you what a faithful man does? A faithful man doesn't worry about the circumstances of life around him. He is going to do right whether he's in the spotlight or whether he's in the low light, whether he's on stage or whether he's in the pit digging ditches. It does not matter to him. Because the issue for him is not where he's doing it. The issue for him is what he is doing and who he's doing it for. A faithful man. Who can find? A faithful husband. A faithful father. A faithful man of God. Joseph did not care. He was faithful in big responsibilities or in the little ones. And I want you to notice, fifthly, Joseph was faithful when times were good and when times were bad. Look down at verse 22 of the same chapter. He's in prison now. Times were bleak. Can I tell you it's easy to be faithful when times are good? It's very easy. Peter said, you know, when times are good, when you don't have persecution, what's the big whoop for standing for Christ? It's when tribulation's on you and you take a stand for Christ, when men revile you and despise you and you take a stand for Christ, that's when there's reward involved. Let me tell you, for some reason, we as American Christians, we have equated this pursuit of happiness with our Christian life. That our goal is to get to a place of comfort. And if we get to a place of comfort, then somehow we've achieved something. I don't understand that. You don't find that in the Word of God. Achieving a place of comfort is not something that God is impressed with in life. God is impressed with one thing, whether or not you and I are faithful to His call in our life. I watched a lot of men who forsake their families so that they can achieve a comfortable place financially for their families. So in trying to achieve a financially comfortable place for their family, you know what happens? They lose their family. I've watched men save up for retirement. I've watched them can all that they get. And man, they save and they scrimp. And man, there's Scrooges in so many different areas of their life. And the entire time they're doing that, missionaries are taking 5 and 6 years to get to the field. You have pastors across the nation that are not paid what they should be paid because, you know, a preacher ought to be kept humble. I thank God that's not true of this church. Your pastor's not humble. You see buildings that are falling apart, church buildings. Why? Because we want to make sure that we have the camper and the boat and the nice house. And that when retirement comes, we have everything in its place. When the cause and the work of God goes lacking. A faithful man who can find. Lastly, and we're finished. Joseph was faithful to do what he was told to by those whom God had placed over him. Joseph was faithful when he was trusted with responsibility. Joseph was faithful when it was costly. Joseph was faithful when he was given a rib of responsibilities and the limelight or little ones in obscurity. Jacob was faithful when times were good and when times were bad. And lastly, Jacob was faithful with every opportunity that was given to him by God. In Genesis chapter 41, look if you will at chapter or verse 46 and we're done. Everything that we have just talked about in Joseph's life took place before the age of 30. I watch many young men, young adult men, who feel like that they need to sow their wild oats. And then once we get to 35 and 40, when we're really old, then finally we'll settle down and we'll be a man. I'll be a faithful man then. I'm going to tell you this, young man, I'm going to tell you this right now. If you're not faithful to your wife at 25, you won't be faithful to her at 40. If you're not faithful to your children at 23, you're not going to be faithful to your children at 43. If you're not a good employee on the job at 30, you won't be a good employee at 40 either. You think you can just change it on a dime? Character is habitual. And if in your life you've allowed yourself to constantly live with habitually un-Christ-like character, unmanly character, un-American character, then I can tell you, you won't change that on a dime. I'm telling you, it's not going to happen. Men, that you're between the ages of 15 and 30, listen to me. Now is the time for you to say, on this Father's Day 2011, I am going to be faithful to my God. As a man, I'm going to be faithful to my wife. As a man of God, I'm going to be faithful to my children. I'm not going to wait. I'm not going to sow my wild oats. I'm going to be faithful starting right now. I watch a lot of men, young men, who say, well, now why don't I get the respect? I watch a lot of young men coming up in ministry. And these guys coming up in pastoral ministry, They think that things like Somerville Baptist Church have just happened. They haven't. This has been going on for years. Faithful men in the past. This building, I didn't have a thing to do with this. This has been something that has gone on for years and years of time. And yet they just step in and they say, I want a church like that. I want it to just happen like that. Man, you don't know the hours of visitation that have gone on. The times at 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning when you're on a 24-7 hotline that everybody knows your number and they want the pastor there. And he wants to be there. They don't see all of that. They just expect it all to come because they can preach one or two sermons. That's not the way it works. Let me tell you something. God will bless you in a great way, but faithfulness has got to be your call. Let me tell you, there's a point in time that comes in men's lives, and I'm talking to middle-aged and older men, and this is a dangerous period for many of us that have come into the 40s and the 50s. We start to get comfortable. And we start to say, you know what, I've achieved most of my life that I wanted to achieve or that I'm going to be able to achieve. And you start to see them get very comfortable. That's the reason that you'll see men in ministry that around 40 years of age, you'll start to see them letting their guard down. And they don't have any more vision for the future. They've achieved it. They didn't see anything past where they are. And you'll start to see them let their defenses down. Men, listen to me. Don't do that. Men, listen to me. You cannot handle pornography any better than a 17-year-old can. I have listened to middle-aged men say, well, I know where to stop it. I know that it's just going on in the mind. I know how to cut it off. And I've watched men that I respected highly, men that I've worked for, that have built great churches, at the age of 50, because they started letting the guard down, found themselves out of ministry, without the legacy that they could have had if they would have just remained faithful. Even in the successes, men, as hard as this is for us many times to understand, our greatest temptation may not be in our failures. Our greatest temptations may come in a picture of success. Genesis 41, look at verse 46. And Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. Let me tell you something about Joseph. Even when he got to the top, he never stopped. He never found in his life a place that he said, you know what? I've done enough for God. I have men that are part of Seniors with a Purpose. It's been 4.5, 5 years ago. I had a man sitting across my desk, an older gentleman. And this is what he said to me. He said, Pastor, I've come to the place in my life that I think ministry really is for the younger people in the church. I put in my time. And so I'll pray for you. And he was physically healthy. It didn't have anything to do with physical health. He said, but really, I'm just tired. So I'm going to pray for you and I'll attend church and I'll even give. But I've put in my ministry time. It's time for me now to pass the torch. How sad. That God given him the breath. Maybe he can't physically do what he used to do. But what he can do, he ought to be doing. I don't know about you, but I want to be like a good cowboy. I want to die with my boots on. I want to die in the saddle. When God calls me home, I don't want him to wonder if I've been faithful. I want him to see, I'm going to pull that man, I'm going to have to pull him off the job just to get him home. May God give us more men like that. That'll say, I'm going to either get busy living or I'm going to get busy dying. But I'm going to serve the Lord till He calls me home. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 6. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. But a faithful man, who can find? Lord, I want to be that man.